Okay, good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners, too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and US, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS TV radio platform going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. Before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsors. Thank you. Thank you to those of you who sponsor the show. You know who you are. You're my foundation, so thank you very much. And for those of you who would like to sponsor, the link is always with one of these shows, so thank you very much to you as well. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo because we're breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story because storytelling is creating our new world. Today's guest is a woman who is certainly freeing all of us from our minds and limiting beliefs. Joining me today is Rosie Pletzer, someone who with a truly inspiring journey in the world of health and personal transformation. With over 30 years of experience in the health arena, Rosie has developed a deep understanding of the powerful connection between our mind, our well-being, and our life experiences. Along the way, Rosie discovered Psyche K, which is a simple, powerful method for transforming subconscious beliefs. Rosie went on to train directly with Rob Williams, who was the originator, or is, I should say, the originator of Psyche K in Colorado, before becoming a certified trainer, and that was over 11 years ago. And she just hasn't stopped since. She's changing the world. One mind at a time. Welcome, Rosie. It's beautiful to have you here.
Thank you so much, Helen. It's a delight to be here. So
All
lovely.
right. So, where do we start? I would like to know one thing. The 10-year-old Rosie, like, was life preparing you for where you are now?
What a cool question.
Yeah.
I think so. I look back on my life and I think I've always been a little bit of a maverick or a little bit of a rebel.
Yes.
And I think that certainly has paid dividends to just moving beyond the known and moving into that uncomfortable space. It's certainly prepared me to be able to do that.
What was that like
Hindsight.
for a child though? Because I know my own experiences, like, whenever I was questioning what everybody was doing, I was getting put back in my box.
Yeah, very much so. But I didn't like staying in the box, so I think I got into a little bit of trouble along the way. And I think certainly there's a lens that people view you through. They view you as the naughty child or the challenging child or the child that doesn't quite conform. So maybe there's a little bit of misunderstanding along the way. Just because you're not adhering to the status
Well,
quo.
we run into other people's programming, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we run into
Absolutely.
mum's programming and dad's programming,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
and they're trying to project or impose that on us.
Yeah. Yeah. For our best good, from a loving space most of the time. Yeah.
Well, they're usually trying to
Yeah.
protect us and
Yeah.
prepare us, aren't
Yeah.
they?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just
Yeah.
that most people forget that children are born geniuses, right?
Yeah. Yes. If only we would listen. And I'm a parent myself now, and I still think there's so much I could have maybe done a little bit differently if I'd had the knowledge and foresight that I have now.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Yeah.
Well, and it helps us, I think, forgive our parents for their shortcomings
Yeah,
too, right?
absolutely. Absolutely.
When
Yeah.
we find our own shortcomings.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I'd love to ask you this question. Because up until now, the mind, what is the mind? It's still a theory, isn't it?
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, I guess quantum physics has really helped us understand stuff that can't be seen or touched or quantified, qualified, in that
Yes.
touchy-feely way. But yeah, we can see how the mind works through the brain. So if we understand that the mind gives us the programs, and then the brain prints out some of that information. So we can certainly understand the mind through the printout of the brain a little bit.
That's a cool way of explaining it, because everyone understands computers to a certain degree. It's kind of like
Absolutely.
a computer, and because I've always called it a hard drive, I kind of saw it as it was a collection of everything we've heard and read and listened to and
Absolutely. So if you think of maybe the brain as the hardware, it's the container, and then the mind is the software, it's the programs that are in the computer. So the computer itself is great, but the software might need a bit of updating.
It's a
And a
great
few
way.
viruses.
That's a great way of putting it. The software needs updating, and that's where lots of different there's I came across you, gosh, before we had the lockdowns here in Australia, so 2018 or something like that, because I was looking, I all my life I've looked at how do we retrain that mind? How do we retrain that thinking? Along the way, I've also found that there are some people like I was, where you had a million voices in your head, and there were some people that like I've got nothing, I was like you, trying to understand, well, what is it? Because it dominates our life.
Every behavior, every attitude that we have, every thought is governed by subconscious beliefs and perceptions.
What is the
So
subconscious? Because that's still a theory as well, a concept.
it's below the level of conscious awareness. So it's like the data bank of everything that we've experienced, as you said, all our memories, all our experiences from our own unique perception. So you can have three kids from the same family remember history differently. So we take it on as truth in our particular way. It's not an absolute truth, it's a perceived truth. So we experience stuff and we store that in the subconscious, and that helps us hope maybe helps us or maybe limits us in
We'll
future
get into
scenarios. So I think I've had to choose my words carefully
this.
there. So supposedly supports us in future scenarios to keep us safe, to keep us alive. That's the primary function. And of course it goes before birth, Helen. So even in utero we develop perceptions to stress, reactions just through our in utero experience. And science is showing that we actually inherit stress through the RNA as well and DNA. So some of the stuff that we react and respond to isn't even ours.
Yes,
So
it's
it's just
ancestral.
an inert or innate way of responding.
It's generational as well.
Correct.
Yeah, so we've
Correct.
got generational, we've got in vitro, we've got then our life experiences.
Correct. And
Wow.
societal, cultural.
All of that too.
Because I teach in different parts of the world, and there are common beliefs in different societies, and we are bathed in those too as we grow up. So it's really fascinating to see some of the different cultural beliefs
That is, you've got
that
some,
we.
some experience, some insight into it. I never thought of it like that. It's, like what one culture experiences and has to deal with can be very similar then to others, not different.
And then we've got the greater community of the globe, the global community that we all buy into as well. So there's stories, and we choose to believe those stories or we don't believe those
Well, they
stories.
all go in the data bank, don't they?
Correct.
Holy cow. So, how do we clear the cache?
I think the first thing is we understand that they're stories. So we understand that that's not an absolute truth. And I think that's when we develop awareness. We start developing conscious awareness. And some people do, and some people might never really develop that conscious awareness even through life. And that's okay. But for the people that do develop that conscious awareness, we kind of start hitting up against ourselves because we start to move beyond. We go, actually, I don't want to believe that. I really want to be a patient person. But we might be patient 5% of the time when we're consciously aware and striving to be patient, but then when we get busy with other things in life, the subconscious is still impatient. It hasn't caught up. So it still runs the impatient program. And then we start blocking heads with ourselves. We get impatient with ourselves, or we get frustrated. Hang on, I wanted to be patient. Why can't I do that? And we start blaming ourselves or whatever. And that's when we start, I think, looking at what is it that's holding me back from that? And we realize that 95% of the data that's coming forward is from the subconscious mind. And we need to update that part of the mind to align to what we're consciously wanting to present ourselves as, or how we want our inner world to be.
That's a really good description of it too, because I call it perturbation. You know, life's perturbating you. It's kind of causing that friction that you're talking about, or it can be resistance. But you made something a really good point there, because that's when we start to ask questions. When we start to ask questions, life provides us with answers. Right.
And if we look and we search, you know, I think Rob Williams, who's the originator of Psych K, you know, reminded me that, you know, if you ask for the teacher will appear, you know. So it's a bit like that's how I found Psych K, that's how you found Psych K. We started Googling or researching, how do I change my subconscious? And
Well, I want it quicker and simpler, quicker and simpler.
That's the key. So Psych K is the fast, simple, rapid, sustainable way. And some people aren't ready for fast and simple, because we've been taught and programmed to believe that you can't change easily, and change has to be hard, and you've got to work hard, and you've got to do mantras for 30 days, 5 times a day, to really get the traction. So if you say it's simple and easy, some people go, oh, that must be a hoax, you know.
Well, and also something that you said before too differentiates the two groupings that you're talking about, because there's a grouping that are victims, and I say that with all due respect. You know, that's just the way I used to see life as well. Like life was happening at me, I had no control of it. But when you said, you know, it's just a story, it's, you know, we've got to see them as just stories. That's what differentiates those two groups, because if you're a victim and somebody says to you, it's just a story, and you're talking about some trauma that's happened to you, you won't like it. You won't like it. So
You
you get
get
the people, you get the pioneers, the ones that are going, all right, I'm becoming self-aware. I'm starting to ask questions, and I want to know how do I rewrite myself?
Exactly. I think I mentioned to you before, I feel like I live one of the most blessed lives, because I get to hang out with people that I really admire and am inspired by, because they're ready to step into their own self-responsibility. They're ready to take on the journey of inner change. You know, it's an inner game. So, and it's beautiful. I really have a beautiful life.
And everyone needs to hear that, because it's not by mistake, right? It's not by mistake. You chose it step by step along the way, right? And when I said earlier, we're pioneers, we're setting out on a new frontier here into this new world. And for people listening, I think they're all going to understand that the world, there's an old world out there that's really having a hard time at the moment. And then there's a new world that we're all co-creating, where it is what you're living right now. You're an example of, if you take responsibility for your own life and then start rewiring those old beliefs, would that be it?
It's a nice way of saying it. Reframing, reprogramming or updating. Beautiful.
Absolutely. So tell us about Psych K for the people out there that, like, you know, what had you done up till then, and why was Psych K the best, next best deal?
I think I had done so many things before Psych K. And you know, the people that know me and love me for all my faults and flaws, we kind of have a bit of a giggle about the rosy journey of trying everything. You know, I had my own flotation tank for a little while in my house, and I used to play subliminal tapes, and I'm trying to get myself to create some change of really thought patterns. I was sick of my own self-talk. And you know, I was a bit of a bully to myself, and I was trying to change it, and it was hard work, you know, that repetition. I tried affirmations, I tried kinesiology, I tried all sorts of things, EMDR, EFT, so a lot of the energy psychologies, and I actually loved all of them, Helen. It wasn't a that anything was bad. It was just slow and torturous. It felt torturous. It just felt like a lot of hard work and so frustrating because I would make some ground and then fall back. And it was just a long way of
So
trying to make
you
change.
weren't sustaining the change.
Correct, not sustaining and sometimes not creating it. So sometimes I'd try really hard and just not see any results for what I was doing.
I think you've got millions of people out there listening to you, nodding their head, going,
Yeah,
yes, yes.
meditation. And I still meditate. Love meditation. But it wasn't creating that 3D daily life change that I was really searching for, especially in my head. I really wanted to become the place I wanted to be, and I wasn't. I was
What
it
was
with,
happening in your head? Are you one of
oh,
those?
I was telling myself to hurry up all the time. I was telling myself there was still stuff to do. I was calling myself stupid sometimes. Oh my gosh, yeah, so many. What I wouldn't say to a friend, I was saying to myself. So
I hear you.
yeah, and sometimes I was saying about other people, just judging other people that I would never judge them consciously, but my subconscious would be there going, "Oh, look at that!" I'd have to be trying to shut it down consciously because I wasn't very proud of it.
Isn't that interesting? Because I went through the same thing, right? And I'm like, but there was a part of me going, that's not me. I don't want to do that. I don't feel, but I no one had taught me that I could actually separate from that and observe it.
And you can still separate it and observe it, and you can learn that, but it's still happening, and it can still get frustrating that you still have to keep observing it and separating from it. It was like, I knew there was something more.
Because
I
there's
just
loud
knew.
voices. There were loud voices, but it's also quiet, isn't it? Real quiet humming away in the background.
So, and that at some level in yourself, you go, I know there's more. There's I can achieve more. I can be more within myself. And that's when, I guess that's when I was ready to hear that there's this workshop called Psyche K. I was lucky. I heard about it from a fellow called Bruce Lipton, who's a world speaker. He's
I
written
know
some
who Bruce
amazing
is,
books.
epigenetics and all that
Just
stuff.
a delightful
He is.
heart-based person, and he highly recommended Psyche K to me, and I thought, well, if it's good enough for Bruce, then probably it's good enough for me. So I took myself to the workshop. I wasn't actually convinced. I thought it was a little bit too simple and a little bit too, 3 days really. I've done all this other stuff, so I wasn't convinced.
Skepticism.
I know, healthy skepticism, I call it.
Yes.
But I did engage with it, and I did use it, and I did notice some powerful changes with things that I had been trying to change that were so organic and so simple. Some stuff was still a little bit took a while, and some things are like an evolutionary process. We keep visiting it from a higher level of conscious awareness. So some patterns, I guess, that we revisit, but from a different level of consciousness. So I guess it helped me recognize that life is an evolutionary process, and we're never quite there yet.
And there
But
is work to be done, you know. I mean, we're getting, I really hope in my lifetime we're going to get close to the instantaneous stuff, and the way we're evolving at the moment is so fast that it might be there, it might be around the corner. So there's still work to be done, but it's not the work that you were doing like earlier than that.
No. So different, Helen. You just notice the 360s of your life. I'm not the same person I was before I did Psyche K. Before I would have 1,000 masks on. Now I'm much more authentic.
What you see is what you get.
Absolutely. And I think that's key. And that's such a there's such a piece in that.
There's something about that too, because that's what I've realized as well, that throughout our lives we pick up the programs of others and we lose ourselves in there. And what Psyche K is doing for people is removing the layers and it's like a, here you are again, who you naturally are.
Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome? And it's not Psyche K doing that.
No,
Psyche K is the key.
at
So
all.
that's the K. The K stands for the key. The
Right.
Psyche K just gives people the tool or the key to be able to liberate their own mind. So it's people really stepping into the awesomeness that they are, and they've just been now given something that they can use if they want
Mm-hmm.
to really expand themselves in ways that they've been wanting to for a long time.
Yeah. Because if you want a better life, everybody knows when I say this that sometimes you find you hit an invisible wall or an invisible ceiling. All resistance is you. You are resistance, right? And Site K, I mean, that helps you to firstly acknowledge, well, what is that resistance? Yeah. But there can be, as you say, if you want a better life and you've quietly got your subconscious in the background going, I don't deserve it, you'll never get there. Then that's exactly what's going to happen. I call it, who's the dominant frequency? Who's the dominant frequency?
Well, the subconscious mind has 40 million bits per second processing capacity, and you compare that to the conscious mind, which has got 40 bits per second processing capacity.
Right.
It's unfortunately, the subconscious mind is probably going to
That's a fabulous way to look at it. Absolutely. Who's going to overpower? The subconscious every time. So doing some work on yourselves in this way is incredibly important. It could be part of every day.
I know. I often hear myself saying to people, I don't know why people don't do this. I don't know why everybody on the planet isn't doing this. It's just such
You and me both, love. I'm like, if, and it's not until you cross that threshold and you put yourself first and you have an hour to do something on yourself each day, you make sure that happens. But you've got to override using Site K. I absolutely suggest to people as a tool, you've got to override the subconscious says, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. There's too much going on.
And you're not as important. Your needs aren't as important as that or that or that. And the value is in doing, not in being. You have to overcome the subconscious programs that really do, unfortunately, stop you from honoring and valuing yourself.
Yes.
And they are subconscious programs.
And it's daunting at first. We need to let everybody know that any sort of change is pretty daunting, which I suppose is why people find people like you, right? And a workshop so that they can go, oh, we can all be feeling daunted together and move on.
And I think it is taking that judgment hat off of oh, it's overpowering, there's something wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with you. You've just forgotten certain things, and now you've just got to remember actually that you're a divine being having a human experience, and here's the key to identifying what you're up against and finding limiting and deciding how you want it to be instead, and then living from that more expansive place.
Oh, I mean, even as you say that, I feel myself expand. I hope everybody else experienced that too. It's like that's what we're capable of
And
in
it
even
is.
in a moment. Yeah. So that's the way that they can start to address and take steps towards the rewriting or reprogramming the subconscious. What about stress? Because I know that there's a process called TPSS, and I'd love you to tell people about it.
Yeah, lovely. So in Site K, we have these, we call them balances. They're processes for change. And we call them balances because they create a balanced identification between the left and right hemisphere of the brain. So we talked a little bit about the brain before, but the left hemisphere is more logic and rational. The right brain is more creative, intuitive. And our birthright is actually to have both hemispheres simultaneously engaged. But when we're stressed or in resistance, we often over-identify to one hemisphere over the other, which limits our response potential. When we're stressed, we over-identify to one hemisphere over the other, and we're not in what we call a whole brain state.
And it's not just what we do, it's what we've been taught as well. Because the school system is making us dominant left, dominant left. The world is asking us to be dominant left.
So then when we over-identify to the right, which is the emotional, we can lose that rational, logical
The
thinking.
balance. The balance.
And it is balance. So I kind of simplify it a little bit and say a whole brain state allows us to reach our full response potential because we can think and feel at the same time. And that's the beauty of the Psyche K balance processes. So that's what we do to reperceive a stressful situation. So what we're going to do is say, so I'm scared of spiders. Then when I see a spider, I tend to over-identify to the right hemisphere where the emotions are. I lose my ability to behave logically. I top up on the table and ask for somebody to get rid of the spider for me. And it's a bit irrational, you know. So what I
There
do
screaming in there somewhere too?
is around maybe a little bit of screaming and high-pitched voicing. And then, if I use the balance process, I can choose to reperceive the perception of the spider. So the spider stays a spider. I don't change the spider, but I change my perception. So the perceptual filter of which I'm experiencing the spider. And then I can choose to reperceive that to a state of peace instead of fear. And it's like a superpower, Helen. It can take 2 to 5 minutes, not even that, sometimes less, super fast, and then that's sustainable. So the next time I see a spider, likely I'm very different in response to it. I can notice that I'm not freaking out,
There's
that
no
I'm more at
response.
peace. Yeah,
There's no
amazing.
response.
So, and it's not something I have to do over and over and over again. I do it once because I've integrated that reperception at the subconscious part of the mind, and that's the habitual part of the mind. So I don't have to do that every time I think about a spider. So there's quite a few modalities that you have to keep doing it every time to reinforce that state of peace. With Psyche, we do it once.
And it's
We
done.
integrate it with the subconscious mind. It becomes our new habitual behavior. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, it's perfect. And
Yeah.
it's not like a superpower, it is a superpower.
It is, yeah, and yet it's our birthright.
Yes. And
And
what you're saying is that, and I would just want to simplify it for people out there too, you've changed the inner world, which then
absolutely, yeah,
changes the outer world because
correct,
people know that fear attracts whatever you're afraid of. So
yeah,
if you've actually ch you've balanced that or changed that, that means the spiders won't even turn up anymore.
probably because we're a
Yes.
magnet, we attract different
Yes.
frequencies, absolutely,
Yes.
that's true,
And
and
I mean, I experienced it during the lockdowns. I offered it because for everyone out there, I've trained with Rosie. I've done their beginners, I've done their advanced. I love it. I love Psych K. It just changed my world as well. But during lockdowns, I offered it for free to people because I knew so many people were stressed out. And I just want to share one story. This young woman who did the process on a Zoom, so not in the same room as me or anything else. And this process took 5 minutes, and she was just stressed out, highly charged, highly stressed. And she told me what the problem was. And I went, okay, so, what would you prefer to be experienced? She said, I just want to be peaceful and calm, So we did the process, and I said to her, so tell me about the problem that you had. And she looked at me and she went, what was the problem?
I love it. I love it.
To me, that just encapsulated that process. Yes, because when you're in, you've kind of gone off to left or right hemisphere, you can only sit, you're in the problem. It's like you're in it. But when you're whole-brained, you're outside of it, looking at it objectively.
You're solution based instead of fear based. Isn't that? That's profound, isn't it? Because, as Bruce says, you can't be in fear and love at the same time. We have different neurochemistry. So, if we're in fear, we're swamping the body with certain neurochemistry that's not helping us survive, it's helping us run fast. And then, if we're in love, we're in a whole different neurochemistry, and the two can't coexist. So, it's almost our responsibility to be in joy, to be in solution base, to be in love, or
But it's
health.
such a foreign thing for people, isn't it? Because that leads up to what I beautifully leads up to what I wanted to ask next, right? So, when you're doing balances with people, I found that when you actually had to ask them for what they wanted instead, that is like people usually just go, I don't know. They just have this, not many people are out there actually giving good thought and attention to, well, if you had a beautiful life, what would it be?
Yeah, it's a
Do
really
you come
good
across
point.
that in the workshops and
100%. Except for I did give a children's workshop in
Oh,
2019, between ages of 7 and 14, and
that would have been.
they knew exactly what they wanted. So
Yeah.
kids are different. Kids are great.
Well, kids don't have that stacked of conditioning and programming on top, do they?
So the adults is a bit like pulling teeth. It's like, how would you like it to be instead? And some people have never even considered
Yes.
how it could be instead. We're so used to whinging about the problem. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want to be stressed all the time. I don't want to be anxious all the time. And then you might go, okay, great. We know what we don't want. We
Yes.
live it.
Yep.
How do we want it to be instead? Let's pivot. And it can be, I've never even considered how it could be any different, because it's such my normal story I tell myself every day
Yes.
that I can't even imagine how that story could be different.
Yes.
So this is the beauty of Psych K, is we shift and we move from the known story and we go, what can we imagine that is ideal instead of this particular way of being? And that's where we're giving. The subconscious doesn't like a void. You know, if I said to your subconscious, don't think of a red car, you've just thought of a red car. So it doesn't like the knots. You know, we need to say, think of this, you know, really divert to here, give it a very positive direction, and
Clarity.
it will take us there.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I think the other point that's so helpful is that you made it that where we put our intention and attention is where energy flows. And if we're trying to co-create heaven on earth, we need to start focusing our intention and attention towards that, not towards the negative news, not towards the stuff that we don't want. Let's focus our attention on what we do want. What are we wanting to create?
Yes.
So beautiful point, Helen.
Well, and you talked about, the two, we can either have this fear or this love. I remember sitting in a class doing personal development work way before I met you, but I want to share this with people because, when we got asked to sit down with our pens and paper and write where we were going to be in 5 years' time. And the first thing I felt was terror. Right? Absolute terror. Because up until that point in time, I had never dreamed or actually focused on my own life. I'd been, of course, up to that point as well, a mother of kids, of children, and I lived for them. I lived for them. I lived for my family and whatnot. And so it had been decades since I'd actually stopped and considered what I wanted. And that's why it terrified me. Yep. Absolutely terrified me. So when I got to Site K, it was like you're in a room, you're learning with other people. So if you get that blank wall and you go, I don't know, you can, kind of cross-pollinate and listen to everybody else. And plus Site K gives you examples as well. Yeah.
And it's got a really good now post community too, so that it doesn't stop after the workshop. You can still jump into the community and go, somebody just ask me the questions.
Yes.
help me bounce off, because sometimes
Yes.
when we ask ourselves the question, it's like, I don't know. But somebody else might ask us the question and we have a different answer.
It's difficult to self-diagnose.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
So I also thought, though, too, that we all have daydreams and we all have fantasies, right? But they're fleeting, they're tiny, they're quick. And when you've got the opportunity to actually connect with them and go, but what if they could be real? Yeah. I think
Beautiful.
everybody can do that.
I think you said it before too, our Western world really values the left logical, rational side of experiencing life, whereas the right is that imagination kind of side, and it can get shut down when we're young. I know I was told at school I was too imaginative, and I
Oh
was too
my
idealistic, and I
gosh.
was too sensitive, and I was too this. So
Yeah.
I think I was, you get shut down a little bit from that imaginary daydreaming of
Yes.
stop daydreaming and get real, you know. So I think a lot of that gets pushed down, so that almost we have a sense of we shouldn't be doing that. We
Yep.
shouldn't be daydreaming. We shouldn't be imagining something good.
It's wrong or it's
It's
not
wrong.
valuable.
Yeah, it's not valuable. So I think also we have to overcome that we're allowed to imagine, we're allowed to daydream and think of things. I think that's a really nice point. And we're also I think we rail against change a little bit because we like our little comfort zone. So it can be terrifying to even imagine something different, even if we're uncomfortable where we are.
I think we're a generation, we're a world that's forgotten how to dream.
And it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. I still have a dream. It's there, right? I'm lining up with it. I
Yeah.
want to fly the world on private jets,
Yeah,
right? I just,
fantastic.
yeah,
Yeah.
I don't want airports. I don't want anything to do with it. And when I took, it's like when you talk about people to things like that to people, people think you're nuts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look on people's faces when I'd say things like that. And then for me, I like the shock value anyway. So, you know,
Yeah.
it's like, you know, well, you can, you know, whenever I get, when I got, when that plane's here, you're all welcome. You're all welcome,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that goes along with I know the other things that I have balanced and created. So the certainty, the knowing that you're capable of doing it starts to build, doesn't it?
I think we're only limited really by our imagination and we don't use it enough. So,
Ah, that's a brilliant pearl of wisdom, that comment. Can you say that again?
we're only limited by our imagination and we don't use it enough. Yeah. I think we have the, we know one dot on the wall. And I think even with psyche, even with our ability to really update the subconscious. I think we can't even imagine our potential. I think our potential is so vast, as humanity. I think we have an incredible potential that we're just scratching the surface. And I get really excited when I talk about that because I think, wow, where could we actually go if we're all in harmony, if we're really respecting each other, we've got our own mindset. How we want it. If I think if we can be responsible for our own subconscious mind, we can be so much more respectful of other people's mindset too. So yeah, I get excited.
I
Very
do
excited.
too. I mean, I even have little, I mean, it starts with you. You've got to set the way you behave and your attitude and your energy, your field, right? It's like cleaning it up and cleaning it up and cleaning it up. And you get rewarded for it, don't
Yeah,
you? When
all the
you do some
time.
work in life, how does life reward you?
Just, I think if you go with the flow, and if I do my best, and I really am coming from that place of love and being of service, things just happen to make sure that I'm in the right place at the right time. So maybe I don't get to do this, but then if I had done that, something might not have been really good. Or I land here and it's just luckily the 2 days after something, I look back and I feel like I'm a frog on a lily pad. Like through COVID, I just felt like I just landed in the right place at the right time, not from my superior planning, but from my, I guess, just being supported by life.
Life, whatever that is to you,
Correct.
So that I hear you. I hear you. As you start to clear the subconscious, balance the subconscious, then the rewards are synchronicity. You and life start to tune in to each other. And sometimes you get to see, like you said, you know, if you had have been 2 days earlier or later or whatever, but sometimes you don't even know.
No, so it's trust. It's trust and no attachment to outcome. I think is that other pearl is if you're not attached to an outcome, then and deeply trusting that life has your back, and that you're doing your best, and then magic happens.
Magic happens. Absolutely, it does. It's like synchronicities become normal. They're just a normal part of life. Flow and feeling in the flow becomes a normal part of life.
And I think you said it before too. We really step out of that victim. We let go more and more of the victim mentality. Sometimes I still catch my victim mentality when I'm, especially when I'm with people like family. Will sometimes will pull it in a little bit, you know. So especially when we love people dearly and we we sent
Family,
they
family have those immediate triggers and connections,
yeah they
don't they?
can, so they can show us where we still have maybe stuff to do, stuff to balance,
Yes.
but so I don't think I have transcended fully the victim mentality. I think it's a work in progress, but I'm very aware now when I am reacting or responding from that. And now I go, oh, that's great. Let me pull this up and let me look at that and see what's in it for me.
Yes.
What can I learn from it and transform from it? So I think it's acknowledging that we can really step more and more out of that victim, the world's happening to us, so that when things do happen, even though we don't like the look of it consciously, it's what I call really bad wrapping paper. But we know there's a gift in it. It's happening for us, yeah. So even though for our conscious mind we don't like the look of it, but
Yes.
if we look past the wrapping paper to, oh, why is this happening for me? Then it can really change our perception.
And the way you look past that wrapping paper is going from a left or right brain dominance to a whole brain
To
state.
a whole brain state. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that victim that you're talking about,
Yeah.
you talked about how, you've been around the world to so many different cultures,
Yeah.
then that's a it's a worldwide culture, right? So
Yes.
it has a bit more clout than,
Yes.
just some other programming that we may have. So it probably is something that we're all going to be helping rewrite for the rest of our lives.
Oh,
Yeah.
I think so. We all have a subconscious, and it's, there's a vast amount of information there. I think Bruce, when I was chatting with him, he said that about 70% of subconscious beliefs are limiting. So, and I think that makes sense because when we're in our formative years and we're highly suggestible, so we're taking in information through a different brain bandwidth,
Yes.
then a lot of those things that we are told are limiting. Don't do that, you might hurt yourself. Don't do this. So it's not that we've been taught that deliberately, but it's to
No.
help keep us safe.
Well,
Yeah.
formative years are up to 8 years old.
Yeah, 0 to 7, we tend to
Yeah.
say, but even from 7 to 13, we haven't got full critical thinking yet. So we are highly suggestible. So even watching the television, doing our video games, reading books, we take things on as more real than what we should be taking them on as. We don't see the difference of what's real and what's a suggestion.
Well, they're
So,
not being processed or categorized,
correct,
up until
correct.
that point, there's no filter.
Yes. So really up until the age of 13, we're really programmable to a state that's not so much when we're adult. Yeah.
Yes, and that's when all the rubbish gets in as well.
A lot of the rubbish gets in.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then here we are. We get usually like people, it's about, what is it in your world? It's usually about people's mid-30s. They start kind of having this, something happens when they start to, get a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah, I'm finding it earlier and earlier now,
Are
Helen, which
you?
is so wonderful. I'm getting younger people turn up to workshops, so they're starting to really get that conscious awareness at a younger age. I
Okay.
would have said maybe 4 years ago, oh yeah, 30s to 40s is my average, or 50, 60s, between 30 and 60 would be that average age group that would
Yeah.
come to the workshop. Now I'm getting early 20s. I'm getting some kids that are 16 to 18. They just switched on. I guess the world is maybe pushing us to a point of we wanting to create some sort of change.
Of
Yeah.
self-actualization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it goes beyond self-help. It really is to this self-actualization, the self-realization that psyche can really help us, give us the tools to help ourselves get there.
Yes. So how would you like, for somebody who's listening, what are the tools? Like, because you talk about a 3-day workshop, right? But if you've got some program that's going on and you become aware of it, does that take 3 days?
No.
Yes.
No, you can do it in a session with, you can book in with an experienced facilitator and just do a session, a one-to-one session where a facilitator can guide you through the processes so that you can do your own self-transformation around a certain goal. So the goal might be stop smoking or to sleep better or to have better relationships. So it could be any aspect of life. I think that's the Your subconscious governs everything, so really spirituality, health and well-being, self-esteem, all of
Your
the
job, your
categories. Yeah,
family,
career, family,
relationship, your partner,
absolutely.
your children.
Self-talk, children, yeah, it goes on and on and on. And life doesn't stop until it stops. So we've always got stuff we can balance for.
And
Yeah,
that's what
but.
I loved about Psych K, because I too, like you, had gone
Yeah.
through all of those other
Yeah.
modalities,
Yeah.
tried and tested all of them. I called
Yeah.
myself the crash test dummy, right?
Yeah.
I was testing all of them out.
Yeah.
When I came to Psych K, it was like you realize you're the one who's doing all the work. It's all
Yes.
happening within you, right? And nobody, you don't need to be attached to everybody else for the rest of your life to do it, because you're given the gift and the tools on how to do it for yourself
It
anytime.
really is. I feel like Mary Poppins on the last day of the workshop. My job's done. Because it is a bit like, you've given the key, you've handed the key to the participant, to the, and you see them walking away confident, like, okay, I'm going to be using this now. And it's super exciting. It's just I don't know
See,
how
what
to
do you get
explain
to
it.
see in those workshops? Like,
Oh,
because you've done so many of them over the
yeah.
years,
Yeah.
right? What do you see?
It never gets old because you see people come in a little bit doubtful, a little bit apprehensive, maybe a bit like me, healthy skepticism, sometimes desperate, sometimes just curious. But then you see on day three, even on day one, you're creating the change. You're already doing balances on day one, so you're starting to change beliefs. So
You're
then
right
day
into it.
two, people come in and they even look different. It's like then they get into their own stuff and start being able to really create their own changes, really personalize it. And on day three, we put it all together so people are able to facilitate the process with another person so they can go home and facilitate, if a family member wants to help, wants some sort of help, or a friend wants to experience it, they can do that with a like you did with the person that needed change. It's beautiful to be able to offer that, and they've got the key to change for themselves for the rest of their life. So it's not just something that they get at the workshop. Now they've got the it's where it starts at the end of the workshop. This is where it starts, and
And
I
I
get
like
to
what you
see
said. I like what you said about they come in the second day, you notice they look different, right?
Yes.
There's
Yeah.
something really significant in that, because everyone needs to realize that if you're carrying around sabotaging self-programming, there's a price you pay, there's baggage that you carry, and it impacts your health, your mental health,
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
So if
Yeah.
that isn't incentive enough, it's like if
Yeah.
you're going to carry that baggage around for the rest of your life, then it's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
That's a
And yeah, you could call Psych K the new anti-aging program.
Oh,
Because honestly, if you're carrying around this stuff, it weighs you down and it has an impact. There's issues in the tissues. We store stuff in the beautiful physical body that we've been given to look after for our life. And if we're not looking at after it with all our beautiful thoughts and beliefs, then we're nagging it or being harsh to it, then it's
oh
a
my
different
gosh,
scenario.
that's
So
a great point.
yeah, that the physical body is going to also respond beautifully to a change in subconscious
That's a
body.
great point, because that's
Yeah.
another issue that everybody has.
Yeah.
We've become so, I suppose, programmed to rely on authority, like in medicine and health and stuff, to tell us what to do with our bodies, that, people are actually a little scared of their own bodies these
Yeah.
days. They
Yeah.
don't
And
understand some aches and pains and nuances. And your point there, self-talk, talking to the body, going,
yeah. Yeah.
Let's get into the day,
Yeah.
and let's.
And I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for
Yay.
carrying me through the day. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think there's many of us that do that anymore. Yeah.
No. And just recently I saw there was a Lego movie that was put out, and somebody put out a little snippet, and it was called Good Morning. So you could probably Google Good Morning and Lego movie,
Yeah,
right?
cute.
But he gets up in the morning and he goes, "Good morning, table. Good
Oh.
morning, plant. Good morning, bird." Like he talks to everything in the
Yeah.
environment. It's just beautiful.
It's actually very beautiful. Because we've lost that connection, you know, we feel like we're separate from things. And you know, Rob had a beautiful chapter that I call it with Insight K. It's called the aligning with the principles of nature. And you know, that one of his concerns is that we see ourselves as separate from nature, and we're a part of nature. And if we see ourselves as separate, we pit ourselves against it. We feel like we have to defend ourselves against it, whereas we're actually part of it, which changes our whole perception.
It does. It does. So, good morning, everything, right?
Really
But
nice.
loving our bodies and talking to our bodies is something that I've learned as well. It's if you feel a pain, the body's trying to, it's just trying to talk to you. It just doesn't have a voice like we do. So, just saying, well, what could I do for you? How can I help? Do I need a glass of water? Do I need to sit down?
And what attention do I need to give you? Well,
Right.
what is it? What is it that you are, you know, what attention are you looking for?
Right. Yeah, because
Beautiful.
it will talk to you, won't it?
I think if we listen, it will.
Which means slowing down and not being so busy. That's not the easiest thing for a lot of people these days.
It wasn't easy for me, Helen, at all. I think it was, I think I'm not the only one. I think I'm probably very a common denominator that I was living through was that I was valued for what I did, you know, when I was growing up. And my parents are lovely, but from immigrant parents who worked hard to make a good living, and we were instilled with that value of, you know, you work hard and you can get on in life. And so we were valued. Good girl, you did that. Good girl, you did that. So I was kind of got the good girl for doing stuff. So I
Doing.
think I did the good girl for myself. My internal value system was, or judicial system was, you're only good if you do things, you know. So it was my judge, my inner judge. So I got busy doing because that was what gave me value. Just by being, I had no value.
Well, I
So,
think there's a big program out there in the world that wants everybody doing busy,
Do,
busy.
do, do. This is your value system. So, yeah, I think it's nice to change that belief too, that I'm valuable just by, I have an intrinsic worth just by being here.
And is it natural? Most people don't stop and even consider, is this how I should naturally operate?
No, it's a bit crazy,
We're
really.
both going to say a resounding no right now.
It's a little bit mental, isn't it?
Yes. It is when you're sitting on the other side of the fence. But I, like you, it was hard work getting. Pulling out of that. It's like it's a big tangled web, a spider's web, and you've got to slowly and quietly pull your way out of it because the spider might come as well.
True. I like that.
But you've got to just slowly
Heartfelt.
pull, bits and pieces of yourself out of it, and then use something like Psych K to rebalance that, to balance it and clean it up.
Exactly.
There is hope, everybody out there, honestly.
Oh, there's more than hope. There's excite. I just excited anticipation, peaceful excited anticipation.
Thank you for the work that you're doing. It's tremendous work. You're spreading the love around everywhere, and love is my key word, and it's certainly your key word, and we're here to share more and more love in this world because it needs it.
And thank you, Helen. You're doing an amazing work too. It's so inspiring.
Oh, I love it. I love having conversations with people like you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So tell me, where are we headed? What does the world look like? Like at the moment, everybody's seeing it, like through just chaos and trauma and war and all sorts of things. What do you see?
I feel like I don't see it that way. Isn't that interesting? I see the beauty of my garden. I see the beauty of the people that I get to share time with and information with. I don't see it as that. I see that it's chaotic, but I kind of, when people ask me, it's like a movie that I'm watching. It doesn't actually feel real. And I really, it's not that I'm not feeling for the people that are being impacted physically by what's going on. I do. But for me, it's almost like it's this story that's playing out that we could change in a minute. We could change the world in a minute if we all chose to. Isn't that interesting? If we all decided to change our perception, the world would be different tomorrow.
And I hear you struggling for words to explain, and I completely understand that, right? But I wanted to hear what you had to say because I feel like I'm in a dimension or a bubble, right? I can see what's going on out there, but there's no engagement. There's no engagement. And I see what you do. I see the world, my bubble, the world I live in and the people I interact with. And I think over the years I've been trying to find the words to describe it because everybody can have it. Everybody can choose it. And that's what you're doing. You're in your bubble, navigating all the other crazy bubbles that are out there, but not becoming entangled.
No, not becoming entangled. Being in the world but not of it is I love these runes, and one of the runes is about that, this Nordic wisdom, but being in the world but not of it. So again, not this attachment, deeply connected with other people and nature, and but not attached. So
That's
it's a
such an
different
important
energy.
word, isn't it? Attachment.
Yeah.
And, because that's the world that I walk in is detached. Attachment's been one of my key kind of things in life. But detachment, like you were alluding to before, doesn't mean not being emotional and not caring and
No.
none of that.
It's
You
having an
actually.
even deeper connection with,
Yes, absolutely.
And not judgmental, not with the judgment. So deeply connected, but without this attachment to what should be happening, what shouldn't be happening, all the labels we could put on it consciously.
So you're seeing the spirit or the soul in everybody, not all
I
the
try
ego.
to, I'm, as I said, I still fall, we still have our patterns that we're still working and navigating, and life still has its ups and downs. And it still has my growth opportunities that appear, and I embrace them, but instead of railing against them, I see the gift in them, and I honor the journey now. I embrace the journey rather than get frustrated with it. So,
And what keeps you in that space?
I think myself, my, and when I say myself, it's probably my higher self. So, not my ego self, but certainly trusting and intuition and alignment with that aspect of myself that I can surrender to.
And that just takes constant self-reflection, a constant.
And balancing that, really creating that supportive beliefs that really help me be in that space. So everything that takes me away from that, I can look at and then create the supportive beliefs that help me live in that space more and more.
Anything that takes me away from that, and anybody that takes me away from that, you see them for what they are.
Correct.
Instead of beforehand, we'd have them creeping up and getting us from behind.
Absolutely. So
Beautiful.
now we invite them in almost and go, oh, that's interesting. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for being that mirror to see that there's an aspect of me that I still need to grow. That,
And then you balance it and move on.
correct.
How beautiful. How beautiful. How do people get in touch with you? I'm going to put the website with the show, but how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, they can email me or they can call me. I'm on WhatsApp, so my number, we can put my number down there too. I'm good at getting back to people, Helen. I've balanced for that. So
There
I'm
you
good
go.
at
You
communicating
get
back
to
with
connect with
people.
the woman herself because your business is minds aligned.
It
Minds
is.
align, which is just gorgeous. And I love, this is the energy. You're the energy of now and the future, which is soft, it's coherent, it's generous, it's, that's the aura that you have. And
Well,
that's
thank
the
you.
aura that we all need to strive for, I think.
Yeah. Authentic, and just being authentic, just being ourselves is enough. Isn't that amazing?
Yes,
Yeah.
it is. Because underneath all of it, we are kind, loving people.
Yes. Everything else is just stuff in the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous. Rosie, thank you so much for your time today. It's
Yeah,
been a
thank you.
pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a really a joy for me as well. Yeah,
Okay,
thank
thanks so
you.
much.